Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Let's then open our Bibles to John chapter 14. Thank God for the promise of heaven. Glorified body, glorified voices. One day I'm going to grab a mic and say, "Hey, Robert, will you back me up? I'll just have to wait to get to heaven to do it." Amen. I'm not going to try that in a church service. I don't want to blow a good thing. John chapter 14, we'll read one verse, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm going to ask Brother Ernest Cortez to lead us in prayer this morning as we come. Amen. You may be seated. These are the words of Christ to His disciples. He knew what was about to happen. He was about ready to be crucified. But more than that, He knew the rough days that were coming. The persecution, if you read the book of Acts and see what the disciples would soon suffer. And more than that, they would experience the fall of Jerusalem to the Romans, the dispersing of the Israelites as a nation, and horrible suffering and persecution. In the midst of that, He said, "Peace I leave with you, let not your heart be troubled." I want to preach this morning on this thought, feeling safe and secure. We live in a day and age where it's hard to feel safe and secure. How many of you realize that? A lot of people losing their jobs and their homes and their careers and their finances and their health. And I have basically stopped reading the newspaper and watching the news because you will live depressed and distressed and upset. And you'll have ulcers, high blood pressure, a lot of health problems if you think about what's going on in this world, around this world, even right here in our state, in our nation, and some of you with your jobs. Some of you have ulcers with traffic, so you definitely don't need to be watching the news. But there's a lot of bad things happening, and here's what we do like, especially this generation. This is a generation that likes to feel safe and secure. You've never seen so many locks and alarms and it's funny, this is the generation of food seals, and if someone saw a food seal was broken, they wouldn't touch it. They're not going to touch that. It doesn't matter if it smells good, looks good, if it's out of date, if the package has been opened, someone sees their medicine's been tampered with. This is the day and age of seat belts and car seats, and I remember it wasn't that long ago. Just a few years ago, when we were riding around and put 10 kids in the back of a truck and we'd sit on the tailgate. We'd put 20 in a vehicle and not even the driver had a seat belt. Amen. Now the car doesn't even turn on until everyone is buckled in, seated. I've seen parents, they say, "Can you take these two kids home? I'll be missing a seat belt." "No! What are you thinking?" So sorry. We just like our security. Now it's not. Honestly, 20 years ago, very few of you had car insurance, health insurance, home insurance. Now you have life insurance, death insurance. Some of you insuring everything from your shoes to your fingernail polish to your purses, your guns. We are really stretching it. We're so desperate and we're so insecure, we're doing anything we can possibly do to provide some kind of peace of mind and security. Now, I'm glad, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't imagine being lost. I can't imagine going through this life, 2011, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I couldn't and wouldn't feel safe and secure. Folks, I'm thankful because of God, because of this book, because of His Word. There are a lot of reasons I feel safe and secure, but the first one is I feel very safe and secure in my salvation. I talk to people all the time, And if you witness, if you disciple, you'll find out one of the biggest insecurities people have is their salvation. And they'll say, preacher, you've got to understand, you know, that you can lose your salvation. Folks, this book in no place, nowhere teaches that your salvation is insecure. You might be, if you look hard enough and you look long enough, I know there's five or six verses in there you can twist out of context and make yourself feel insecure and unsafe. But if you read this book from Genesis to Revelation, you spend time in all 66 books, you'll find something you can get really safe and secure. Let me just clarify something. We're talking about biblical salvation. Now, if you've never been biblically saved, now you've got some problems. You better feel insecure. But if you have been born again and you get some nutcase and they say, well, preacher, if your salvation was secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you'd go out and kill someone tomorrow and you'd still be saved. You know, a Christian doesn't want to go out and kill someone tomorrow. Real born again children of God have been changed from the inside out. They're the cleanest living people on the planet. Now, if you still want, listen, you can make fresh faith. If you still have the old desires, if you can still run with the old crowd, listen to the same music, drink the same beer, if you can still live that old life, now we're not talking, that's not biblical salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Those old things are passed away. And we know, according to the Bible, turn to 1 John. Because God makes it very clear. He said, well, there's no one. How many ever talked to someone? And they said, there's no one on the planet that knows for sure that they're going to heaven when they die. How many ever talked to someone like that? They're not familiar with the Bible. God gave us this book because God in His mercy doesn't want man wandering around confused trying to figure out how to get to heaven. God created heaven. God says, I want man to come here. And they need to understand how, so He explained it in His Word, 1 John 5. This is the record, verse 11. That God hath given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. It's not baptism, not church membership, not in doing good. It's in His Son. He that hath the Son... Now, how do you know you have life? It's plain English here. It's not too complicated to understand. You have the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you. You have life, eternal life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you. Oh, here's the key. That believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may what? You can know that you have eternal life. Now, here's why I feel confident in my salvation. Because my salvation is of the Lord. Now that's a relief. If it was any other way, if it was in a church, a denomination, if it was in me to earn my salvation, I would not feel confident. I mean, if you're 20, 30, 40, if you're 50, if you've lived at least 20 years on this planet, you know if God pulls out the magnifying glass and takes a look at your life, there is no chance because of what you've done that you're going to get to heaven. You can't live safe. You can't live secure. Look what it said in Ephesians chapter 2. This is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. Now you talk to people that are insecure in their salvation, and here's why they're insecure. They're convinced that they either have to earn it or they have to keep it. That'll make you insecure. Can you imagine anything in life like that? That'd be dangerous. But your salvation, the security of your soul, if it was based on you, your wife knows you lost it. Today, yesterday, the day before, and every other day since you've been married. Ephesians 2. You have He, God quickened, who are dead. Now this is our condition. Before you got saved, you know what your condition was? You were dead. Just like God's a Trinity, man's a Trinity, soul, spirit, and body. Before salvation, the spirit is dead. You know that because when you tried to get interested in the Word of God, the things of God, there was no life there. There was no desire there. It was all forced. You were dead. You were a walking dead man. That's why God told Abraham, in the, I'm getting my doctrine mixed up this morning. That's why God told Adam in the garden, He said, as soon as you sin, you will surely what? A spiritual death. You're going to be spiritually dead. Each one of you that has gotten saved, recognize before your salvation, what were you? You were a walking dead man. You know the only one that's in the business of resurrection? Only one. It's not you. You couldn't raise a mouse from the dead. It takes God. It's not Muhammad and it's not Buddha. It's not Joseph Smith. One person that can handle resurrection, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He resurrected your spirit through the Holy Spirit of God. You were dead. Look what it says in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You were dominated by this world and worldly thoughts. You were in this world locked in, locked down. You had one mindset, and it was all worldly. Amen. Some of us don't want to be honest this morning. Verse 3. Among whom also ye had your conversation in times past, in the what? Listen, you're depraved. You know, from the time you were born, you were bent towards evil and wrongdoing. No one had to teach you how to do wrong. But your desires, no matter how hard you tried to change them, they were still the same. And you might have gone to church, you might have tried to do the right thing, but inside, those desires were always looking and longing for something that went against the Word of God. Look what it says. The end of verse 3. And we're by nature, what were we? Children of... We're doomed. I mean, we were headed straight for the lake of fire. But thank God there's verse 4. It says, but God. It doesn't say, but Adam woke up and wanted to turn over a new leaf and change his ways. And he got committed. Now, here's what gives me confidence and keeps me safe and secure in my salvation. It was God that took this dead, depraved, doomed soul and gave him new life. If it was anything but that, there wouldn't be any safety or security in salvation. Amen? Everything you see mentioned in the Bible about salvation will bring you hope because you'll understand this is not me. This is not my righteousness or my attempt to please God. What did Paul say? How many in here would be brave enough to raise their hand and say, I have attained to the Christianity, Paul's Christianity, Paul's level of commitment, Paul's level of sanctification, Paul's work ethic spiritually, I've attained to that. No one in here. Look what Paul says in Philippians, the next book over. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. You know what Paul said? Being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Paul said, I'm not trusting in my righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Can you imagine if your salvation depended upon your righteousness? So let's talk about your righteousness. Yeah, let's talk to your kids, your neighbors, your friends, your mom, your wife about your righteousness. Now, if they find flaws in it, what about a holy, righteous, perfect God? I would not feel safe. I would not feel secure if for one moment I can't... Now, you talk to people, and there are actually people out there saying, if I'm good enough, I can't... Wow! Then you ought to be a miserable person. You ought to be unhappy, insecure, saying, I probably have absolutely no chance of getting to heaven because this thing depends upon me. My salvation is safe and secure because it's a gift. God said, here, have it, take it, it's free. It's because, thank God that my salvation doesn't depend upon my love for Him, but His love for... And Romans 8 says, there ain't nothing on this planet that can separate me from the love of God. I mean, you know how impossible the thought is? Can you imagine, tomorrow you go to the airport, you get a plane, and you get up a good 10,000 feet above this earth, and the flight attendant walks by, you know, something strange on this plane, and she walks by and she hands you a flying manual, and you say, "Ma'am, what is this?" And the engines go off, and she says, "Get reading, buddy, because the pilot promised to take us up and get us in the air, but now it's up to you guys to keep us in the air and land this plane safely." You say, wait a minute, this isn't the kind of deal I was wanting here. I wanted him to take us up and take us home and land it. Can you imagine God saying, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you salvation, but then you got to maintain it and keep it all the way to glory." You know what would be worse? If we look down, there's pedals. And he said, "If y'all pedal hard enough," I would say, "Why bother? There ain't no chance we're keeping this thing in the air." That's how silly man is to think, "God saved me, but I got to keep this thing in the air. I got to keep my salvation afloat." You're going down. There is no way, humanly speaking, that you can keep, maintain, or earn your salvation. That'll make you insecure. I thank God I can rest at night and say my salvation is not dependent upon my good works, my righteousness, my faithfulness. This is dependent upon God and His promise. Look what it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." What a promise. Amen? Now, I'm not deserving of that promise, but I do have it. Now, here's what I like most about the promise. Verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith." Thank God it didn't say who are kept by the power of their good works, their faithfulness, and endurance. Because I'd close these doors and put a sign at the entrance that says, "Don't even bother, you're doomed." I can't believe that someone who believes in the loss of salvation would even bother preaching every Sunday. Folks, I know you, and you know me, and on this, we can't agree. We don't got a shot. If it weren't for the power of God and the promise of God and the faithfulness of God, I thank God. Now, I thank God there's so much that has to do with salvation that gives me rest, but we just read 1 John 5:11-13, and it said eternal life. You know what I'm thankful about when it comes to salvation? That word eternal. That's hard to understand. That He gave me on January 8, 1976, something that was eternal. I can't lose it. I can't break it. I can't mess it up. That's incredible. Look what it says in John chapter 3. If you simply do a Bible study on salvation, you'll find this out. Everything that deals with salvation shows and proves without a doubt that your salvation is safe and secure because it's not you. Let me just tell you this, folks. It can't be both. It can't be faith and works. It's one or the other. You either get it by faith. We know it's a gift of God, and Ephesians 2:8-9, that very chapter we were just reading in, makes it very clear. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. If that were the case, if salvation were earned, heaven would be hell, because he'd be full of braggarts. I knew my wife would make it. I tried to tell her that. Those guys at that Baptist church, those people... Yeah. Wouldn't heaven be a miserable place? Look what it said in John 3. Actually, it said, keep your finger in John 3. Let's go to John 1:12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become" what? How? "By believing on His name." Chapter 3, verse 7. Here comes the spiritual man. Here comes the religious man. Here comes an outwardly good man. And Christ looks at him and says, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again." Now, you know what makes me confident in my salvation? The salvation is a birth. I got birth the day I got down on my knees. I trusted Christ my Savior. I repented of my sin. Now, until you get to the point where you say, "I am a lost sinner," there's a payment for that sin. That payment is death in hell. Punishment in the lake of fire. And I understand there's nothing good that I can do to escape that. I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. "Christ, I want you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Give me eternal life." Until a person does that, they're not biblically saved. Let me just ask you this morning before we go on. When were you saved? Pastor, I'm saved. When? You tell me when. When did you get saved? "Well, you know, I've kind of just, you know, I grew up in a good home and I've kind of always been saved." There's no one that's always been saved. Where did you get saved? "Well, you know, I was just kind of believe." Salvation is not a process. You don't kind of just start believing and knowing and growing. There's a point that, you know what? You can go back to a place, a hospital, when you got... You talk about a day, when we talk about when we were born, if you go down here to get a birth certificate, if you go down, when you have to fill out information and they ask you, "When were you born?" "Well, you know, I was kind of like being birthed and there was all these things involved and I was kind of believing. My mama was kind of getting bigger." And they're going to say, "Sir, just tell me when you were born. Where were you born?" "Well, you know, I don't really know. It was kind of like, you know, my parents were moving around and we were kind of, you know, back and forth in a big house, little house. We're ready. We think about..." Sir, when and where were you born? That's what I get when I ask people about their salvation. "So when did you get saved?" "Well, you know, it's kind of like I was, you know, I was feeling this stuff and God was moving and I was understanding enlightenment and I was seeing things and the Word of God." Okay. So when did you get saved? When did you get down on your knees as a lost sinner in need of a Savior and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the minute I did that, I got birthed into... That wasn't me. That was God birthing me into the family of God. And you know how many times birth takes place? Once. I was born a few years ago into the Thompson family. And I have done a few things. Now, listen, I've been a very good... Of the seven sons, children that my mom's had, by far the best right here, right now. You're looking at him. That's just the honest truth. Mom will tell you that. The other six will tell you that. They won't even hesitate. They'll testify right now. But despite of the fact that I was the best of those siblings, there's a lot of things in my past I would like to just forget about. There were times my mom was angry at me. There were times she was frustrated with me. There were actually times that merciful, loving, kind woman yelled at me. There was a time when that wonderful woman had baked some goods for the people of the church. It was a beautiful Passover morning. Easter, we were celebrating Easter, and she had baked all these goods, and she asked me to load them in the car, and I took some out, opened up the trunk, and I put some in there, and I thought, this is going to take me 30 trips. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put four on this arm, four on this arm. The only problem was we had a front porch and three steps. And I took the first step, and I was fine, but when I went to go make the second step, I tripped. Now, folks, you can't imagine how hard it is for a seven-year-old to catch eight flying objects at one time. But listen, they weren't ruined. I'm a smart kid. I brushed them off. I cleaned them up, patted them out, adjusted the plastic, put them in the trunk, and said, "Mom will never know." And we got to church, and after church, she brought the ladies out, and she opened up the trunk. I know she didn't cuss. But I imagine if someone wrote those words on paper, she would have signed her name at the bottom. She was mad. Good thing salvation is secure. She might have lost it that day. But you know what didn't happen? She didn't say, Adam, as of right now, you're no longer a Thompson. There were times we were punished. There were times I was in trouble. There were times on a Sunday morning I did something stupid. Please pick me up. And he turned on the siren and drove back to the church with the sirens on. I will let you imagine what my dad did to me when we got home. He lost his salvation too. At no time, at no point, did I cease to be a Thompson. You know what it did? Yes, it affected our relationship. Yes, we had to be reconciled. But no, I did not lose my DNA. I did not lose my last name. I did not become unborn. Sometimes I did not feel safe, but I was safe and securely a Thompson for life. And you know what? You're a child of God. You need to act like a child of God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this year, next year, until the day you die. You should have a new nature. You should have the Holy Spirit inside of you, convicting you, guiding you, helping you, leading you, changing you. You ought to be a much better father, husband, person, employee than you were 5 years ago, 8 years, and 10 years ago through the work of the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Thank God every time you messed up, goofed up, God didn't say, yeah, you're not saved now. Can you imagine a God like that? You limited as a human being in your capability of love, you don't do that to your own children. And to think that God would do that to one of His children? Here's what's amazing, that someone could actually preach that. There's only one problem. There's no one in the Bible, anywhere, anytime, that lost his salvation. So if you're a Bible believer and you are biblical, you've got a problem. Because every one of your Bible heroes messed up. Abraham, Hagar, Egypt, they all messed up. Moses, well, most of the greatest man that ever lived. The Bible actually said he was the meekest man that ever lived. Yeah, he also grabbed a stick and hit a guy over the head and killed him. Well, David, he's a man after God's own heart. An adulterer and a murderer. Well, Peter preached Pentecost. Yeah, and he also denied Christ. Not once or twice, three times, and cussed and cursed doing it. Now, folks, if you don't lose your salvation under those conditions, you must really serve a loving... They lost the joy of their salvation. They had to pay a consequence, but the consequence is not having your salvation ripped out. Look what it says in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, which he wasn't, the Bible makes it clear, he hath whereof to glory, not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham was what? Believed God. How was he justified? Through faith. It was counted to him for righteousness because of his faith in God. Now, look what says verse 4, to him that worketh his reward, not reckoned to grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, look what the Bible says, this isn't based on works. This is based on faith. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, you know David's excited about this. Oh, yeah, David's singing, because he knows he's messed up. Not once, not twice, but repeatedly messed up. And he said, I'll confess. Oh, God, create me a clean heart. But he said, thank God I didn't lose my salvation. I lost the joy of my salvation. He said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, what's the context of this? Go back to chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude, the man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Folks, let me just say this morning. You need to get saved, biblically saved. If you haven't been saved, if you haven't been born again, if you don't remember a time or place in your life when you trust Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today. What a horrible mistake it'd be to walk into church, hear the gospel, and then walk out and not trust Christ as your Savior. You can take care of that today. You need to take care of that today. Do what the Bible says. Trust this book. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. And you can live safe and secure. And here's what's going to happen. Well, what if he... And no, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have the Holy Spirit move inside of you, take up residence, and he's going to convict you of sin. And when you go to do it, you still have a fleshly nature. And you're going to have to fight with it, and you're not going to live perfectly. And sanctification comes in three steps. The first step is salvation. You're sanctified in the eyes of God. And then sanctification, you living right and growing, and the Holy Spirit producing fruits in your life, that's sanctification in the eyes of man, because man can't see your heart. And man needs to know that you're different. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to change. But that third step of sanctification doesn't happen until you get to heaven and you receive a glorified body. Because on this earth, you have a flesh and you know it. And you woke up this morning with it. That's why you had a sour face. You didn't talk to your mate for the first 20 minutes you're up. You walked out to the kitchen, sat down, looked at the kids, said, get me some cereal. You know why? Because you haven't taken that final step in sanctification. You got a flesh. And you got to deal with it. Amen?
Right, amen?
Thank God you're so secure you didn't lose your salvation at the breakfast table this morning. And you didn't lose your salvation in traffic on the way in. And you didn't lose your salvation when someone took your spot, looked at you cross-eyed, and didn't shake your hand. Some of you would have lost your salvation when the offering plate came by. Amen? Thank God. God's patient enough to say this whole... Hey, listen, if salvation depended upon man, God would have no one in heaven. And that's not why he sent his son. That's not why he offers eternal life. He wants man to be saved. I thank God in the midst of a crazy world, I can feel safe and secure in my salvation. Let me say, second of all, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians is right there in the midst of those little books written by Paul. Go past Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians. You'll come to Colossians, and the next book is Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, there's two of them. Go to the first one. 1 Thessalonians, I'm speaking to those that have been here for 15 years. And have yet to read their Bibles. I'm not talking to our new converts. Our new converts have gone through discipleship classes and they're the first ones to get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, I feel safe and secure in the rapture. Amen. And folks, if you see what's going on in this world, you see what's happening in the Middle East, that Iran is very close to having nuclear technology and capabilities. That kind of capability in the hands of a madman is a very dangerous thing. You see the nations of the earth turning against Israel once again. You see just the Bible prophecies. Listen, there are Bible prophecies that Israel would be returned and restored to her land. Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't even return before 1948 because prophecies hadn't been fulfilled? 1917, when Great Britain signed that piece of land back and they returned that land to Israel. And in 1948, when Israel became a nation once again, prophecies were fulfilled. The only problem is, there's a lot more, everything from the mark of the beast, and I've read prophetical books from 100 years ago, and listen to authors make a fool of themselves. It was out of ignorance. But they said there's no way you could assign every man on the planet. And back then, I don't remember what the numbers were, I think they were throwing around 4 million people. There's no way you could assign 4 million people the mark of the beast. Oh, now we're on the verge of becoming a cashless society. For the first 5,900 years, mankind, we traveled by foot, by mule, by camel, by boat. And the thought of going from here to Nebraska was mind-boggling. Folks would die on the trip. And now, you can go anywhere in the world in less than 24 hours. International travel is more common than the International House of Pancakes. Some of you are awake, amen? We are, because of international travel, international communication, we are one world. Folks, I'm telling you what, if you have read this book, you know simply Bible prophecies are coming to pass. If you would have said in 1985 that the European nation, the revived Roman Empire, that the very thing the Bible prophecy had already said thousands of years ago, that the European nations would realign, you'd say that's impossible. There's too much friction there. Not impossible. God said it would happen. China's rise is a superpower. Amazing how we looked at Bible prophecy. And if you want an interesting study, just go back and read any Bible prophecy books before 1900. But they were limited. They didn't realize the acceleration in knowledge and technology. And then God's Word always comes to pass. Now folks, if you're just sitting back listening to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any other radio talk show host, you know what you're going to do? You're going to fret and sweat and say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? What's happening? The national debt? The devaluation of the dollar? Homeland security? Nuclear technology? What are we going to do? We have a sovereign God in heaven. Who the Bible says, our God is in the heavens. He hath what? What's Psalms 115 say? He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. God never lost control. He didn't lose control in the day of Noah. He didn't lose control in the day of Hitler or Mussolini. He didn't lose control the darkest day on this planet, which was Calvary. And He hasn't lost control in 2011. Now, here's what's amazing. If you go back to that verse, I don't want a Spanish Bible. I want an English Bible. Thank you, son. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Look what it says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these. Have you ever been nervous about the direction this nation is headed? National debt? Personal debt? Drugs? Crime? We've only lived in Austin for a couple years, but already, we came home the other day, our entire area was blocked off. There's 30 policemen in our area blocking off. Every exit, every entrance are blocked. They were stopping every car coming in, every car coming out. Yes. We paid the bill. Let me tell you a little secret. You actually paid the bill because you pay me. One night about 12 o'clock, we had a helicopter with a searchlight going through our neighborhood for an hour. Policemen out on the street. Folks, we don't even live in a rough neighborhood. We do live on the east side. And you lay there at night and you say, boy, I would like to feel a little security. Everything that's going on in Mexico, we make trips to Mexico and people have, you feel secure. We've been pulled over by police. I've been thrown up against the side of my van. I've been detained for theft. Yeah. And you are saying with this kind of legal system and judicial system, what is going to happen to me? But there is a God in heaven. And if I weren't a Christian and didn't understand that there's a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God that's still in control, guess what, Dan? I'd feel pretty insecure. I would be shook up. You know when we have a nation that can't sleep and they need pills just to go to sleep? At what point in this nation we needed this many pills to take care of blood pressure, provide sleep, calm our nerves? Yeah. Some of you just look. Some of you taking blood pressure medicine, you're just looking at me like. I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age of insecurity, high stress. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. So what do I do, preacher? You get saved. And you understand salvation, you get secure in your salvation. And then you say, I'm going to comfort one another with these words. Yes, this planet is becoming bizarre. But guess what? Some of you are going to come here one Sunday and the preacher's not going to be here. And the majority of this crowd's not going to be here. Can you imagine if this morning the rapture happened? Say, preacher, I don't believe in the rapture. Then you can't believe in salvation or anything else this book says, because God makes it very clear and very plain there is a rapture. Amen. And this world will be thrown into chaos. They will not know what to do, because you will have millions of people literally across this planet who disappear. See, that sounds pretty crazy to me. Salvation sounds pretty crazy to me. Heaven does. New life in Christ. I believe it all, because I believe this book. And one day, twinkling of an eye, maybe today, we are actually at a point where there's enough Bible prophecy fulfilled, it could actually it couldn't have happened in 1856. It couldn't have happened in 1902. But it can happen right now in 2011. For some of you, it's good thing it didn't happen last night. Because God would have caught you. The thing didn't happen on the way to church when you were fighting with your kids. I can feel safe and secure. This world is bizarre and getting crazier and crazier by the moment. But thank God I don't have to go through the tribulation. You read Revelation. You read about those 7 years, the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. The signs and wonders. God's judgment upon, God's wrath upon man. A third of the world's population dying at one time. You don't want to be there. Pastor, what do I need to do? You need to get biblically born again. Because there's enough things. Listen. It would be crazy for you to leave this service this morning. You're going to get in your car. You're going to buckle up. You're going to buckle up your kids. You're going to make sure the airbag's on. You're going to check the tires. You're not going to run any red lights. You're going to drive the speed limit. You know the craziest thing? You never stopped, took time to get saved. Now, how insecure is that? How unsafe is that? You're worried about your body and not concerned about your soul. You need to take care of business this morning with your soul.
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today. But more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.